From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football, no longer Pac-12. Yeah.
Why do we keep whispering? We've been doing this now for a couple of shows in a row.
Yeah.
I like it. I want it to continue.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
It's like a thing we do. Yeah, we do a lot of weird things.
Yeah, baby.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
Ernesto in the chat says, hello, POC. Yeah, we're live. Not a simulcast, according to David Woods, but I like to call it that. On our YouTube channel, we are pushing to 2,000 subscribers, so please like and subscribe that channel. But of course, you can listen to us across all the podcasting platforms as we spew down upon all of you our vast wisdom of Big Ten football. Yes, we were 9-3 picking against the spread last week. Can we do the same this week? 13 games, but a lot of no lines. Not as many opportunities, but can we have that high percentage? Can we make you money again? That's going to be the question. And speaking of questions, do you have a question for us? BigTenCast@gmail.com is a great email address. You can send it to us. We got a few questions to get to. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. Send us a text. We got one of those. Leave us a voicemail. We love that. And we all love being on the Twitter machine. I will never call it X, at B1G Podcast. You can check us out there. Tweet at us. I'll look at it maybe. David usually won't unless he has to tweet something or retweet himself. I'm not sure. That's what he normally does. But go check us
out.
That's
so not true. I have to do it when I correct your misinformation, which happens frequently.
Are you going to be like the moderator?
That's the role I've assumed.
Apple Podcasting app. That's a great thing on your iPhone, your iPad. But what you should do, if you got it, you got one of those iPhones, those fancy new things. They're just, I don't know, maybe it's a passing fad, David, these iPhones. But whatever. Mm-hmm. If you got one, go to the podcasting app. Go to Podcast of Champions. And leave us a 5-star rating. We beg of you. We can't give you any more jockey underwear cards. Maybe soon, but we can't do it right now. But leave us a 5-star rating and some kind of review that tells us what you think about us. You can make fun of us, whatever you want to do. You can say something nice if you want. We don't like that as much as if you make fun of us.
That makes us uncomfortable.
Yes. Say something mean, but leave us a 5-star review. We will love you forever and praise you by talking about it on this show that's reached by dozens of people. Listen.
Dozens, maybe even 20s.
We got like 32 people live on the chat right now.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So that's a little something. Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Do we have any new reviews?
We have zero new reviews, Ryan. Our listeners have failed.
You suck.
There were so many reviews to be written between.
They were ferocious.
Our last show 2 days ago and right now.
That's true. It wasn't that much.
What happened? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. We could.
They're going to be ass.
Is that
a reflection of our ass. Listeners?
Yeah, huge ass. Ernesto says, simulcast, baby.
That's right.
Love it.
That's right, baby.
Kings fan. Do it, do it, do it. He's talking about liking and subscribing on the website. So let's see. My favorite podcast is live from Kevin. Thank you for doing that.
Which podcast is that?
It would be this one, I hope. Huh. I hope it's this one. Maybe he's watching
another one at the same time.
His favorite's on some other channel, but he's watching us also.
That's exciting.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know if I could multitask like that.
I got the board reorganized, so all the teams are in alphabetical order now. I can easily get to my... So if you want to leave us a super chat, we can buzz you and talk about it and all that fun stuff. Yes. So very excited to get the show going. Do want to thank our sponsor over at MyBookie. So did you listen to us last week? Because David and I had 4 picks differently. We split those 2-2, and we almost got everything else right. We lost one other one that they were agreeing on, but pretty impressive. 9-3 against the spread. That is definitely going to make you money. Week one, I was 8-7, wasn't going to beat the vig, but now we crushed it, going 9-3. So you might want to listen to us. And if you want to do that, you can bet all kinds of stuff. All these games, you want to bet NFL stuff. If you're a sicko and want to bet baseball, which I have no idea how that works, you can do all of that over on MyBookie. But of course, our focus is on Big Ten football. We got some fun games this weekend, rivalry games, Notre Dame coming to Purdue. You got the Civil War. You got the Apple Cup. We call them different things, Territorial Cup and Big Game. But those are just a bit we do. But lots of fun stuff to get to. Of course, do you think Wisconsin can keep it close, cover the spread against Alabama? Lots of fun stuff you can get to, and you can bet whatever you want over at MyBookie. You can do the first half, second half, however you want to do it. And you want to use promo code POC. That's our promo code. You can even use the Pac-12 one if you want. That's still active. But POC will give you a 100% bonus for your initial deposit for new users. So get in there. POC is your code, and you will get a bonus. So if you put $100 in, you get $200. You did that last week, made a bunch of money on all of our picks. You can do that. So make sure you go check out MyBookie. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie.
That was a gorgeous read.
Thanks. And what are you going to read? I'm just like, now I'm just improvising.
It's a gorgeous performance.
Thank you. Yeah. I do my best. I don't think I was the most excited. I just finished a live show with Connor. Coming right into this one, maybe it gave me a little energy.
No, honestly, you seem a little punch drunk. I'm going to be honest. Do I? It's great, though. Good energy for a podcast.
I had a diet cherry Coke.
Okay, that seems right.
Yeah. Hold on. We got to do one. Robert. He listened. He's like, wants me to use my new... my new board over here. He said, so it's $10. Thank you for the super chat. No snarky comment. Just have a good show because I really don't want to be here, but I'm stuck. LOL. Oh my God. I'm Martin Jarmon. That's a good, we should pay him for those. Cause it's
thank
so
you,
funny.
Robert. Yeah. Appreciate you.
West Texas Mike says, I'm watching my favorite Big Ten podcast right now, and I'm also watching the podcast of champions.
Are there other Big Ten shows that people enjoy? If so,
I think more have popped up. Just
we must find them and crush them.
I think people have made them when they're like realized there wasn't a lot out there, and they're like, oh, these guys are making one. We should do one too. I mean, I've been a guest on one or two of them, but I
already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like it really started up right away. I think people just realized like, oh, we should do a show. There's like 18 teams in this league.
Why are you trying to prop up the numbers of these shows?
I don't know. I'm a giver. Do you think I would prop up numbers?
I think you do numbers. You bring the people.
I bring some people.
Yeah. Actually, I had no idea you were even on these shows. It's clearly you didn't promote them.
I did what? Yeah. You know, it's hard. You don't want to promote some of that stuff.
No,
but
no. Did you just go on and were you terrible? Like just go on and be a terrible guest?
No, it was good. And I've done some shows. Yeah, there might have been one through the Big Ten Network. They had me come on and the guy's like, yeah, because he was a producer on the Pac-12 Network, so he knew me, so he brought me over. I don't know. That first week, I don't know if you do that a lot. That first week, I do so many damn radio things and podcasts. I don't even know what's going on. Like,
yeah.
Because once the season starts, there's people that don't talk about college football all year and then they want to talk to you. So that first week is kind of crazy. And then if like, so like UCLA beats Indiana this weekend, like you're probably going to do more shows. Like there's more stuff people want to hear. Like after LSU, everyone wanted to talk. So it's just kind of the way it works. I know, poor us in the sports reporting world. Okay. So if you are in the survivor pool still, there's 25 of you. The link is still up on our in the content. We've tweeted it out before. So get in there. There's only 25 of you left. Go in and pick your games. But we got to do our game picks for week three. Dave, anything else you want to get to before we jump into it?
No. I'm excited to preview this week of football.
Okay. Well, we got a big one just to start things off because, you know, it's another – SEC, Big Ten matchup, the Power Two. The Big Ten got the first blow. USC beat LSU.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
SEC bounced back. Texas crushed Michigan. This would be a big one for the Big Ten if they can pull it off. We got
Wisconsin Badgers
hosting the Alabama Crimson Tide. I wish I knew more quotes from the Gene Hackman film, The Crimson Tide. You know that one? The submarine movie? I don't have any good quotes from it because otherwise I don't know what to do for Crimson Tide.
Is it?
I could make a period joke, but that doesn't work. and I don't really know what to do.
It wasn't Crimson Tide. It was, I think it was called something else.
No, it was called the Crimson Tide, wasn't it?
I don't think so. Maybe. Tell us in the chat how wrong
Crimson Tide, Gene Hackman, okay. 1995 film, thriller slash action, 2 hours and 3 minutes, starring Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman, James Gandolfini.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
Doubt in my knowledge of mid-90s movies?
Probably. Come on. That's bad.
I was 10. You were like 40.
True.
Which one of us knew movies better? This guy. All right. Alabama, if you didn't watch and you just scanned the final score from last week, you saw Alabama, oh, they beat South Florida 42-16.
Yeah.
They just dominated that team. They did not. They came very close to losing to South Florida, or at least being in a much, much more competitive game. It just pulled away basically in the fourth quarter. But it was a very, very competitive game for a huge stretch there. This game at Wisconsin also comes... what comes up just after this one? I mean, after a bye week too, but what comes up after this one? Do you know?
For
Alabama.
Oh, for Alabama?
Georgia. They're going to open conference play with Georgia.
So you're saying there's a look-ahead.
Look-ahead spot, but also I'm not sure they're that good. I don't know if they've yet figured out how to operate in Kalen DeBoer's new system. I don't know if everything is necessarily flying or not going to fly on all cylinders. Fire on all cylinders. That's the word I'm looking for. Wisconsin, on the other hand, hasn't looked good. They played a very close and competitive game with Western Michigan and then played a very close and competitive game with South Dakota. I'm not sure Wisconsin is good enough to even really play a competitive game here, but it's a couple of touchdowns. So I'm going to take Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah. At home.
We're
Camp Randall. Let's go.
They're going to be ass.
Wow. I got to go with my preseason assumption one more time, you know? My assumption was they would be better in year 2 for Luke Fickell. Maybe they've just been keeping it all under wraps for this game.
Do you know
right now.
Do you know who we didn't preview?
Who did we not preview? Yeah, I know.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Evan.
You know?
Evan.
Here's a couple things. So Alabama was kind of crappy. They've moved the tackles around. They've had injuries there. I got a stat for you. 82% of Alabama's offensive production last week came after they replaced their starting right tackle. They moved over to Elijah Pritchett. And okay. Then they got a lot better. They scored 28 points in that fourth quarter. But I feel this is one of the things. Wisconsin has not played anyone good, and they've given up big plays, like explosive plays. Alabama's offense hasn't been good. Milroe's just been like, but they can like make the big play. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Alabama's going to make a bunch of big plays in this one. Little numbers. Luke Fickell, he is 4-1 against the spread as a home underdog. So that's positive.
Boom, roasted.
Kalen DeBoer, though, is 12-2-1 against the spread against non-conference opponents. His only losses against the spread, the national championship game, and then last week did not cover. So we'll see about Caden Proctor.
So you're saying in 2 of his last 3 games he hasn't covered?
But
seems like a trend to me.
But 9 of the other 10 he does. Or 10 of the other 10 or whatever.
All right, so we're going opposite.
We're going to go opposite on this one. I'm going to take Alabama and lay the 16.
All right.
Yeah. All right, next up, we've got...
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
Oh, well, that's
that,
okay.
That was not next on our list, well, but whatever, that's fine. Illinois, this is also at 9 a.m. on Peacock. Illinois is taking on the Central Michigan. Is this a Chippewa?
I think they're Chippewas or something.
Again, what am I supposed to do with that?
Musketeers? I don't know. I don't know what they are.
A Chippewa, it's a native tribe, I believe.
Mm.
Right? Am I wrong? I think I'm right. Anyone?
Sure.
Doesn't really matter. Central Michigan, as we learned in our lesson from 2 shows ago, they're the best of the directional Michigans. However, that did not stop them from losing 52-16 to FIU last weekend. They beat Central Connecticut in the opener. Illinois, so here's the thing with Illinois. They're coming off of a big win for the program.
Yes.
They beat Kansas, and that was impressive. They took advantage of mistakes. They weren't like dominant in that game by any stretch of the imagination. This one is Illinois favored by 19 points, which is a lot of points.
You have 20. Should it be 19?
Oh, it's now 19. Do we want to drop it to 19?
Yeah, let's do 19.
Okay.
Because I'm going to take Illinois.
Yeah, I'm probably doing it too, but I was going to do the rope-a-dope, but thanks for just like throwing the... Yeah, I don't think any directional Michigan stands a chance this year. I think, you know, there are years where a directional Michigan is quite good. There's been years where Central Michigan's been good. There's been years where Western Michigan is good. I don't know that there's been a year where Eastern Michigan is good, but this isn't that year. All three are pretty bad, and I think Illinois is going to run away with it.
Yeah, Central Michigan got blown out last week. Their quarterback, Bert Emanuel, didn't play, and he's also questionable for this one. So I'm going to kind of go along the lines of, he didn't play in week two, probably not going to play in week three. These teams have never met. Did you know that? It's kind of interesting.
Neither knew nor cared.
Yeah. There's also weather. Remnants of Hurricane Francine expected to linger over Central Illinois on Saturday, resulting in rain during the game.
Mm.
So check that out. So last week's total between Illinois and Kansas was under 55.5. Illinois is really good against the pass, not really good against the run. I'm going to say Illinois covers this one, probably wins by like 24, something like that, maybe even more. But I think the capability of a blowout is closer than the capability of Central Michigan keeping this close. So I'm going to go with the Illini.
I love it.
All right. We got number 17 ranked.
Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, you know, hold on. Before we get into that, we do have some, let me see, hold on. Oh, they didn't put my news thing up here. How did I miss that crap? Okay. Kings fan says, Ryan looks 36, David looks 50. So just, you know, when you're talking about my age.
Yeah.
I just wanted to pass that along.
Yep. That's fair. all right.
Sorry.
Arkansas State, the Red Wolves.
Oh! Ooh.
Do you like that?
That's pretty good.
Is that a good wolf?
It is. Oh, by the way, Chippewa is a tribe.
How do I make them sound red?
A red wolf?
Yeah.
Mm. A little more tenor? I'm not sure.
Oh! No. No, that wasn't it. Anyway, the Arkansas State Red Wolves are coming to Ann Arbor to take on the Michigan Wolverines. This is also a 9 a.m. game on the Big Ten Network. Michigan's a 23.5-point favorite. So Michigan last week got beaten pretty handily by Texas, 31-12, and it wasn't really that close. Arkansas State is a class below even Fresno State. This is not a good Arkansas State team. Michigan didn't look great against Fresno State. This is 23.5 points. Which is a lot of points for a Michigan team that was very close to being in a one-score game with Fresno State in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago and then got smoked by Texas. So I'm going to take Arkansas State here.
Okay.
Just because, well, I'm not totally confident Michigan can score 24 points.
Yeah, there's when you're thinking about that, that's certainly a problem. The opening odds for this were 18.5, and it's moved all the way up. I'm not sure what that means, but obviously the money is coming in on Michigan. These teams have never played.
Mm.
I'm told Jack Tuttle could be available for this game.
Ooh.
Would they put him in? I don't know. Michigan only ran for 80 yards against Texas last week. It was the worst rushing output since the start of 2022. Arkansas State, they're bad. They're also 0-2 against the spread. They didn't score a lot last week. They were way under the total against Tulsa. But Michigan does run a super slow pace. I think I have to agree with you here just because there might not be as many possessions as you normally would have. Both teams are kind of on the low scoring end. And like you said, like, is Michigan going to score 28 points in the game?
No, they could win this one 17-3.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally within the realm of possibility that, you know, the total is under 24.
So this started off low. It has been pushing way up. So Michigan by even more. So to get that many points, more than three touchdowns, I think I'll just take it. And if Michigan blows them out, you're like, all right, Michigan blew them out, whatever. But yeah, so that's where we'll go with that one. Let's see. What's the next game we have up here? Also, I have a different order than you have. Does it matter if I...
What is your different order?
I just have a different list that I was looking at.
Are you not looking at the list that we're looking at?
Okay, fine. I'll look at that list. All right. This is what some call... They used to call it the Civil War. We call it...
The Civil War.
Okay, just call it
and Civil War. And the Apple Cup.
And you know what we can do for this one?
Is this the Territorial Cup? I actually can't remember.
I think we maybe called this the Territorial Cup. We have our very own in the Big Ten. This is our team.
Oregon Ducks.
And then a team that used to be our team that we really, really love, really, really love, but we can't anymore because they're on another side.
Oregon State Beavers.
The memories of the chainsaw. Memories.
I miss Oregon
State.
For
the new fans, that's what we used to play. When we were a Big Ten Pac-12 podcast.
When we were a Pac-12.
Yeah.
12:30 p.m. on Big Fox. Number 9, Oregon traveling to Corvallis to take on Oregon State. Oregon is a – let me make sure this hasn't moved. Oregon is a 16-point road favorite, which is insane. Insane. Oregon State.
You're taking Oregon to cover, right?
I'm taking Oregon State a million times out of a million.
A million.
much worse Oregon State teams have beaten better Oregon teams.
Yes.
So obviously I'm taking Oregon State. I'm trying to figure out why this line is what it is. Like, is there a critical injury or something for Oregon State?
It started at 20.5 and it's come all the way down.
I don't get it. I mean, Oregon State, so they haven't. They've played Idaho State and probably the worst San Diego State team in forever, but they've looked fine against both. Like, they beat Idaho State in the way that Oregon State beats FCS opponents.
Yeah.
And then they shut out San Diego State.
That was a big win. That was that's why I wanted them higher on the – you didn't have them as high on the POC.
Yeah. So anyway, so Oregon – okay, so having watched the entire Oregon game last week – obviously, they have explosive playmaking ability. They've got some good receiver talent.
Two of those touchdowns were special teams touchdowns.
Yeah, but they've got some explosive playmaking ability at a variety of different positions. They've got speed. They have team speed. But Oregon State is first. I mean, the motivation factor entirely on Oregon State's end.
Duh.
Like, this is like the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls because you're beating... First, one of your few high major opponents, one of your few P4 opponents this year. And two, you're doing it at home. And three, it's against your rival who abandoned you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the motivation is going to be entirely on the Beavers' end. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game, but I'm definitely picking them to cover.
100%. Like, I'm trying to think of the good analogy here where it's like literally you were left behind. Like, your significant other was your doubles partner at the club.
Oh, yeah.
And not only did she like leave you and cheat on you with like the club champion, but now you're in a tournament against her and your new partner, who was kind of your rival, but now you guys are partners. And now you really, really, really want to beat your ex in the club championship. And this is what it is. And for them, they got 10 trophies already. They don't care. This is your Super Bowl. This will make your whole world if you could beat this team. I was at Reser Stadium 2 years ago when it was half done and it was super loud. It's done now. We've seen Oregon State play this team tough. The motivation factor is there. Oregon was putzing around with Idaho, putzing around with Boise State. Should have lost that Boise State game. Yep. You can't really rely on two special teams touchdowns and then winning on a last second field goal. This was not a well-coached, you know, eyes dotted, T's crossed team, and Oregon State will be. So give me the 16 points there.
Yeah, did Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC, they've created another West Coast Boise State, and that's Oregon State. Like, that's what that program is going to become. And Oregon has to play in both this year.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got the
Purdue Boilermakers.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Give me my pot of gold. I don't know what that was. That wasn't Irish. 12:30 p.m. on CBS. Number 18, still ranked Notre Dame.
They're ranked?
Traveling to Purdue.
They lost. What?
Yeah. Notre Dame is still ranked. Yes. Notre Dame is a 10-point road favorite at Purdue. So
I
here's,
wrote you down for Purdue, by the way.
Yeah. No, already put me down, obviously. So here's what Notre Dame's done this year. They went on the road to Texas A&M and won by 10, which only makes me think just how bad is Texas A&M. And then they lost at home last week. If you missed this game, they lost to Northern Illinois, 16-14.
What's the directional situation for the Illinois?
Well, Northern Illinois is the only directional Illinois that is in the FBS.
Okay.
So I guess that's a positive.
Okay.
But aside from that.
Like the Salukis? Is it the Southern Illinois Salukis? Is that right?
They are the Salukis.
But they're
And
FCS.
Then there's Western Illinois, which is the worst FCS program, more or less. Eastern Illinois, which I think is slightly better than that. And then Northern Illinois, which is FBS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Notre Dame looked like hot dog shit against Northern Illinois. Their defense is okay. Their offense is a big problem. They've made Riley Leonard into a very bad quarterback, which he didn't suddenly become a very bad quarterback overnight. There's something very, very deeply wrong with their offensive system. Notre Dame could still absolutely win this game. I'm just having a hard time seeing them winning it by more than 10. Purdue... Look, we don't have a ton of information on Purdue yet. They've only played one game, and it was against Indiana State. But they did win 49-0. And those 49 points, yes, that is indeed many more points than Notre Dame has scored this year so far in two games. So, give me Purdue plus 10.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I don't know if this is good or bad, but like Riley Leonard, his status is questionable.
Is that good or bad? That's the real question.
Like, I want to know, think back. So through 8 quarters of play for the Fighting Irish, can you think of your favorite Notre Dame passing touchdown?
There's so many to choose from.
Because there's none. You know who else in our beloved conference doesn't have a touchdown pass?
Who?
Northwestern Wildcats.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just the region or what. But no, zero touchdown passes. I mean, I hear people talking about like, well, maybe it's better if Riley Leonard's not in. He's a more of an athletic guy. He had, I think it was his non-throwing shoulder that was injured there. Again, this is another remnants of Hurricane Francine. There could be some rain. Give me the 10 points. Like, duh. Like, I mean, there's no way I'm not taking this. Maybe Notre Dame figures it out, but we haven't seen it. I mean, they played good on the road, but like, there's still 10 points. Like, I don't know. I could see them winning this game, but they got some problems. They got some stuff to get to, and you got that big ass drum. Like, I don't know. I don't like Notre Dame's chances here.
No, nor do I. And I also don't love Marcus Freeman's chances of still being the Notre Dame head coach after this year.
Ooh. Okay. There's a hot take. I like it.
I don't love it.
Okay, let me find, I'm missing one here. Wait, is Michigan the next one? Do we get that?
No, we already did Michigan.
Oh, we did Michigan. What am I blanking on? So we have.
Next up is Prairie View A&M at Michigan State.
Okay, why can't I find that one?
I don't know.
Okay, next up we've got.
Michigan State Spartans.
Oh, maybe there's no line, that's why.
Uh-huh. Okay. This is 12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Prairie View A&M Panthers. Row! Is that a panther?
Sure.
Like a pink panther. Traveling on the road to take on Michigan State in East Lansing. Prairie View A&M. Here's what they've done this year. They lost to Texas Southern 27-9. They beat Northwestern State 37-31. So you got that going for you.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Northwestern State's usually good.
Are they?
No, I have no idea.
You don't know your FCS. Yeah, they're going to lose to Michigan State.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michigan State got that big win on the road. I think this is a good game for Jonathan Smith to sort of figure out, get Aiden Childs sort of like in like reality and just within some kind of system, and not just like we mentioned the random number generator where like you have no idea. It's, you feel like he's just mashing buttons on the controller and shit's happening. You're like, what's going on? So get him under control, because there's obviously a lot of athletic talent there. He's a got a talented arm. I mean, all that stuff. Get it tuned in a little bit. Beat the crap out of Prairie A&M and then move on to the rest of your Big Ten slate. So yeah, this is a get right game, I think, for Michigan State. They need this.
100%.
We have a another. It's a West Texas Mike.
Damn.
In the chat. For David, it says $10 for David Davids. Give me that pot of gold. And Ryan's citing Purdue's big ass drum as a reason for why the goddamn Irish will lose.
Thank you,
West. Do you need better reason than that besides Notre Dame stinks and their quarterback's hurt?
Yeah.
I gave you the nugget. They haven't thrown a touchdown pass. You want more than that?
That is beautiful information.
I mean, I'm just nuggeting you up here. This is good stuff. Okay. Next up, we have
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Do you have a favorite drop?
That one might be my favorite.
It might be the favorite one.
Yeah.
Like the,
because I don't even know what noise is being made, really.
Is that what a gopher would make?
Or? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
12:30 p.m. also on the Big Ten Network. Nevada traveling to Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers, the Nevada Wolfpack. So that's another. Oh, yeah. Minnesota is a, what did I have originally?
16 and a half.
Now it's up to 17 and a half.
Let's keep it 16. You wrote it down.
16 and a half point home favorite. This already moved like in an hour on a Wednesday. Why is it still moving like that on a Wednesday?
I don't know. It opened at 14 and a half.
All right. Minnesota.
That's which way it's going.
Yeah. Minnesota, like my read on them so far is basically the offense still kind of a question mark. Obviously, they did whatever they needed to do against the FCS last weekend, but still a pretty big question mark. I think defensively, they're pretty solid. Nevada is ass. They've been ass for a couple of years now. My nephew goes there, so I have some sympathy.
Oh,
he's had to attend a lot of home football games that have not gone Nevada's way. But they're really bad. So I'm going to take Minnesota here. I would maybe take Minnesota by as much as like 20.
I would
21.
I would have to start thinking about it, but 16 and a half, I like.
Yeah.
Nevada might get their quarterback back, who was out the first 2 weeks, Chuba Purdy.
Okay.
If you want to do that, if that matters to you, Nevada did lose to Georgia Southern last week, 20-17. The Fighting Clay Helton's over there.
They beat up on a guy named Troy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and they lost to Georgia Southern, but they...
And they lost to SMU, but they were ahead in that game for a huge stretch of it in the opener.
Yeah, that's true. Because they have three games, right? They've played three.
They've played three because they were a week zero team.
So it was a close game last week, but the... their post-game win expectancy per SP Plus was just like 8.7%. So like it really wasn't that close. I think Minnesota takes care of this at home. They've already played three games. I think they're tired. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go Golden Gophers with your beep, 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 or whatever the heck they say. All right. A big one. You feel like apples.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cup fulleth of the apples.
Wait, isn't this the Civil War?
Or we call it the Civil War, yeah.
I don't know. Is it the Battle for the Victory Bowl?
This was big game, I think.
Crosstown rivalry?
Yeah. All right, we got...
Washington Huskies.
And since we had a request for this one in the chat...
Washington State Cougars.
But they are 2-0, so we'll give them this.
Washington State Cougars.
12:30 p.m. Again,
feels so good to do that.
Another good game shunted to Peacock. Side note... Peacock sucked.
Yeah, kind of sucked.
Like the production value, and
I don't
also
feel it was worth the money. That
cut out several times to like just a black screen when it was trying to change cameras. Many issues. It's ridiculous that they're putting good games on Peacock. Ridiculous. Yeah. This league,
I don't think it's worth the money.
This league that you wanted to go to is now putting these beautiful Pac-12 teams on Peacock.
Yeah.
12:30 p.m. Washington State traveling all the way to Seattle to take on Washington. Washington is a 4.5-point favorite. Washington State has been pretty solid this year.
Yeah.
They beat the hell out of Portland State at home and then beat Texas Tech really convincingly last weekend. Talk about another like motivation fight between these two teams.
Very much so.
You've got similar to Oregon State. I think there's going to be the motivation factor almost entirely on Washington State's end. But critically, this isn't taking place in Pullman. If it was, I would strongly consider taking Washington State. But the general history of this rivalry in recent times has been Washington wins and generally wins pretty convincingly.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the Huskies.
Okay.
Minus the 4.5.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you here unless I change my mind in the next couple of seconds. But motivation factor very high. Yes. Washington has kind of had their way with the Cougs. In this game, for whatever reason, even when Washington State's playing pretty well. But this is now Jed Fish, you know. And do you remember what happened last week?
Mm.
Washington struggled.
They didn't struggle.
They didn't cover.
You're out of your mind.
They didn't cover. That pissed me off. This opened up Washington as an 8.5-point favorite. It's all the way down to 4.5. I've seen it at 4 some places. It will be, you know, Lumen Field in Seattle. Washington leads the all-time series 76-33-6. And they've won 12 of the last 14.
Mm-hmm.
And in those games, 10-4 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? Like, you know, recency bias. But that's all the past. Recent past, Washington's done a lot better. This is technically a neutral site meetup, but obviously it's going to be in Seattle. But there's a lot of Cougs that are in Seattle.
No, I think it'll be a good environment. But I will. It's not in Pullman. Like that's the big critical thing. Is if it was in Pullman, I would almost certainly take Washington State and probably to win. It's just it's a different deal. Like you're not going to be in that environment, which can be very very hard to play in. So it's also weird. This is in September. These games should not be taking place in September.
No.
Like, there shouldn't be an Apple Cup in September.
No, but
this
there
feels
is.
Very wrong.
I'm glad it's happening. It's weird as this weekend, but whatever. But I'm going to take the Cougs. They are 2-0 against the spread this year. I'm going to keep going with it and take the 4.5 and see what they can do. All right. So we disagree on that one. Next up, we've got the
Iowa Hawkeyes.
1 p.m. on FS1.
That's a pretty good drop, too.
Yeah, that is a very good drop. The Troy Trojans. Do you have the sword just by itself?
Shing! To play the USC thing.
Yeah. I just have to yell over USC. Troy traveling to Iowa. Troy, as we just learned, that gentleman, he lost to Nevada.
Yes.
2 weeks ago. So he's reeling. Troy, let's look at what Troy's been up to. Troy lost to Nevada and also lost at Memphis. Troy is not good. I think that's the critical thing to understand here. Troy may, in fact, be very bad. Iowa lost to Iowa State last week.
Yeah, pissed me off.
They scored 19 points in that game. I think 6 of them came after halftime, if I'm doing my counting correctly. Kirk Ferentz is back in charge, which means
they're 0-1 with him in charge,
which means points,
1-0 without him.
Points will not be happening too frequently. Iowa's favored by 22 points. They might not score. It's not a joke. They might not score 22 points. So how can you pick them to cover 22 points? So give me Troy, that gentleman.
Yeah. This pains me because I've got them wrong. At week one, we took the points and Iowa covered. Week two, I took the Iowa favorite. Well, you didn't. And I got it wrong. I think they're going to get back to this. This was originally a 14.5 point spread. It's bumped up and up and up. So it's going in that direction. You know, Iowa only threw for 99 yards last week.
What spreads are you looking at that you're seeing 8-point movements on every single game?
I don't know. This is on the lines from sports books.
Okay, so a lot of times what happens on those things is you'll get a fake line initially, on the Vegas sports line or the Vegas like sports book thing, where it's like one random internet provider did that, but the true Vegas Open is something different.
Gotcha. Okay, so maybe that's a different one. Yeah,
because I don't think these are all moving 8 points.
Yeah, there are a lot of them that have been like kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it says, though, in the notes, Iowa is the biggest mover of the week, being bet up 8 points by Tuesday morning.
Great.
So maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Troy hasn't covered the spread yet. So I'm going to take Iowa to cover this one. They're 1-1 against the spread. So I don't like it, but that's what I'm going to go with. I don't feel good about that one. Okay. Next up, we've got
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
And corn.
4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Northern Iowa traveling to number 23 Nebraska. That's ranked Nebraska, my good man. If you want to know about Northern Iowa, you've come to the wrong podcast. They beat Valparaiso 35-7 in the opener. I'm not even sure Valparaiso is an FCS. They might be Division II. And then they beat St. Thomas of Minnesota 17-10 last week.
I know someone that went to St. Thomas.
Yeah, that's nice. That was on the road. That was a big road win for Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa, my recollection, hazy though it may be, is that they're generally a decent FCS. Doesn't matter. Nebraska will murder them. There's no line.
Yeah, we don't have a line. I'm going with Nebraska with the murdering. So they're 23. You didn't write their ranking in here. I'll add that to it.
Thank you.
Good to know, though. Nebraska... I like them. I picked them to finish with 10 wins this year. They could start off 7-0. And this is just sort of a step along the way. I think any opportunity you get to get Dylan Raiola more reps and feeling more comfortable, the schedule set up pretty nicely for them to kind of do a slow build. And no problem there. No line, but shouldn't be any problem for Nebraska in this one. All right. That team I mentioned that doesn't have a touchdown pass yet, maybe they'll get one this week.
Northwestern Wildcats.
Arr. They are hosting the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Why so many of the same names?
So many of them. Yeah. We had people in the chat say Tony Romo went to Eastern Illinois and also Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think he went to Southern Illinois. Didn't they say that?
Oh, maybe they said Southern Illinois. God, there's so many of these.
There's too many.
Yeah.
Eastern Illinois, they're 1-1. We already saw them get murdered by Illinois. They beat Indiana State. I think they'll probably lose by 17 in this game. It'll probably be 20-3. But there's no line, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought I was thinking Southern Illinois. Illinois. Too many. California is a way bigger state than Illinois. We don't have University of Western California or Northern California, or we got Southern California.
Yeah.
But we don't have all these directions here.
We need the more directions.
We're way bigger.
Yeah.
I guess if you could do the fiction.
One of my best jokes ever was when I referred to USC as directional California.
I do like it.
That was I think peak Clay Helton era when it truly was performing a directional California.
Yeah.
When Clay Helton managed to lose to the worst UCLA team of all time. Do you remember that year?
Which year was that?
2018.
Yeah, they were bad that year.
Yeah. Yeah, UCLA was 3-9 that year. Lost to a 3-9 team. Yeah. Remember that time Chip Kelly hung 62 points, I want to say, on a very bad USC team?
That's true, but that's why I think he's one of the better coaches in UCLA history. And such a big loss, which is, that's going to come into play when we pick this next game, when we have...
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
Coming out. Those people from Indiana, they're going to pack the Rose Bowl, baby. They're going to take on
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
All right.
Do you know where they are? They're in Los Angeles.
So,
but the game will be played in Pasadena, so I know it can be confusing.
So here's what I'll say for Indiana fans out there. The Rose Bowl will not be packed with UCLA fans, and I would guess it's going to be like a third to half full. Not full. Like, the Rose Bowl will not be full, but it'll be a third to half filled with Indiana, like, of the fans who are there.
Mm.
You will find that there are, like, almost no students there. It'll be weird for you. It's because UCLA is on the quarter system, and it doesn't start until the end of September.
It's not because of where the program is or anything?
It's because UCLA is on the quarter system and doesn't start until the end of September.
Okay.
That's our story.
It's not because it's a basketball school.
All right. So UCLA looked bad in beating Hawaii in the first week. A lot of problems offensively. They weren't able to run the ball. They looked just confused about what the play call was a lot of times on offense. Ethan Garber's played one of his worst halves of football in the first half. They looked better in the second half, but they still couldn't run the ball. And that's probably the primary issue going into the rest of the season is how do you figure out how to run the ball if you can't do it against Hawaii? Passing game looked better, but if they're one-dimensional going into the Big Ten, that dimension will quickly get snuffed out. Defensively, they were able to shut down a pretty anemic Hawaii run game already, so you can't take too much from that. But what was encouraging is that they were able to rush the passer even against a run and shoot, which is typically a quick passing passing attack. So that was encouraging. They had to do it with a little bit more pressure, though. They had to blitz a little bit more than they did last year when it was a four-man rush. Again, how it looks against Hawaii, not necessarily how it's going to look against other better teams. Indiana played well enough to beat FIU in the opener, had to iron out some kinks, but iron them out they did, and they crushed the life out of Western Illinois last week, winning 77-3. We have a classic thing on this show where we say, look, you beat anybody by 77 or whatever it is, that means you're not bad. Like, you can't be a bad team and beat somebody by 74. You just can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. Being that efficient offensively over and over, like, that's video game
against
stuff.
Against air, it's hard to do.
Against air, it's hard. So doing that in a game, that's impressive. Holding a team to three, no matter who that team is impressive. So Indiana is clearly improved. The big question is, how improved? They're going to the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's travel. It's not like, obviously, a hostile road environment to any great extent, but it is travel. So there is that, you know, road factor in there. But I'm not convinced UCLA is going to be able to run the ball. I'm not convinced that's a thing that they can figure out in a single week. If you go to Bruin Report Online and you're a subscriber, you can read a great breakdown of all of the, like, run game issues. But it's the nutshell is it's pervasive. It's not just scheme. It's not just play call. It's also just guys getting beat. Like, and if your guys are getting beat by Hawaii, there was one play where the center and the right guard tried to double team the nose tackle for Hawaii, and the nose tackle won. Those issues, those don't get figured out in 2 weeks. So maybe they'll be a little bit better. Maybe they'll be a little bit more efficient, but they're playing a much, much better team. So I'm going to take Indiana to cover 3 points.
Yeah. I'm doing this one again. Of course, Indiana. Kirk Cignetti, are you kidding me? Yeah. Western Illinois isn't good. They were like 0-11 last year. But like you said, scoring 77 against air is not easy. UCLA only had 71 rushing yards on Hawaii in week one, and Delaware State ran for over 100 at least. Uh-huh. Indiana only gave up 12 rushing yards last week to Western Illinois. I feel like Indiana's going to be able to shut down UCLA's run game. Indiana's going to score points. This seems like a 14-point kind of game to me. It's going to be weird. Like you said, no students, a lot of Indiana people there. If things kind of go wrong early, like Indiana goes up 7-0, I could see it kind of spiraling. This is one of those things where you have a brand new head coach And maybe Deshaun Foster ends up being like an amazing coach, but this is all going to be part of the growing pains. And if he has a good coach like in 2 years, it could be like, yeah, that time Indiana was rolling us in the Rose Bowl and we just didn't handle the adversity well. And now this is what we do to do it. He doesn't know any of that stuff yet. So I just could see this one getting out of hand. I'm going to take Indiana, and I would lay 13, let alone 3.
What an optimist you are about the potential future.
I'm saying even if he's good in the future, like, it's hard to be good at that stuff now.
Yeah, and I'm not joking when I say what an optimist. you know, there was I can't remember if I did it on the show, but I was certainly thinking it when the win total for UCLA dropped by a full win after Deshaun Foster spoke at Big Ten Media Day. But like in retrospect, I was very wrong because like, and maybe that did portend some of the, like, if we're calling it what it is, what UCLA had against Hawaii was major preparation issues, right? Their run game, like the communication looked bad. They were, you know, guy would be running this way, but the line would be blocking that way. Mm. And that's just, that's a preparation problem. That's a coaching problem. And when guys get, you know, when your center gains 20 pounds in the off season, and loses his mobility, it's a plan problem. It's a, what's going
you
on
can't
here.
Change that yeah, now. Yeah. That was stuff you tried to change the whole off season.
Yeah. And it's just, I guess where I'm going with that is, I mean, this is a big game for Deshaun Foster. This is a big game for this UCLA coaching staff to show that they have the chops. Because Kurt Cignetti has the chops. Like, if you go back and look at his record, I mean, the thing is, he's running into the issue where he's already kind of an old guy. He's like 63. And I don't mean to say that's old, but he's an old guy for getting his first shot at a P4.
Yeah.
So he was a little bit off the radar, but he's done this at every stop. I mean, he was at IUPUI, I believe, won at a crazy level. That's D2. Then he was at Elon. Elon went 2-9, and then his 2 years there, they went 14-9. So that's impressive. That's lower level FCS. Then he goes to James Madison, which is at like the peak of the FCS. But like, he does
crushes
like,
it.
Well, it's like the Chris Peterson thing with Boise State. Boise State, always a good program, but Chris Peterson brought it to this level. He did that with James Madison, and then they go up a level from FCS to FBS. Literally no drop-off. That's so hard to do because it's a different, in theory, it's a different skill set to win at the lower levels versus the higher levels. Recruiting changes. All these different things change in terms of your development, in terms of how much money goes into the program. He's done it at every single level. For UCLA to win this game, there needs to be at least a wash on the coaching matchup. And that's so hard to imagine at this point.
Yeah. We had a couple questions on this. Matthew, who has the harder travel this week, UCLA or Indiana? And then Big Bob says, will there be booze at halftime in the Rose Bowl?
I mean, they serve alcohol now. Wait, is this some kind of joke that I'm missing?
No. Will there be booze?
Booze. You said booze.
Did I say booze? There's booze.
UCLA fans haven't been shy about booing a bad product in recent years. So I think here's the thing about UCLA fans is, amazingly enough, there are still many of them. Not all of them come to games, but there are still many of them. And the ones who actually do still come to the games, like there's a sliver of them who are just there for the fun and, you know, being at the Rose Bowl and the whole thing. But then there's like the iron core, like the, like, you know, the rest of the planet has been burned off, but like the molten core is still there. They'll get pretty pissed off if it's a bad product. I would say decent odds booze at halftime.
All right. We got one last game involving
Maryland Terrapins.
This is at 5 p.m. on the ACC Network. Maryland traveling to Charlottesville to take on the Virginia Cavaliers. I'm riding a horse. That's a cavalier.
Very, very cavalier of you.
Yeah, I thought so. Maryland is a 2.5-point road favorite over Virginia.
They just lost at home.
Correct. Virginia has beaten Richmond, the Richmond Spiders, in the opener. And then they beat Wake Forest on the road, 1-point win last weekend. They look a little frisky, does Virginia. And they've gone a number of years now without looking anything remotely close to frisky. Games at home. Maryland, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because I thought Maryland looked pretty good in the opener and then they lost to Michigan State last week. But at the same time, Virginia looks frisky enough that I think this should be like an even game. And instead it's Maryland by 2.5. So I'm going to take Virginia.
I'm going to go with you, Virginia as well. Maryland did just lose at home to Michigan State. They looked a lot better against UConn. They only ran for 86 yards against Michigan State. I think probably a little easier to run against. I think Michigan State's defense is legit. Maybe a little easier to run against Virginia. But watch out, Anthony Calandria. I think that's how you say his name. 75.6% completion percentage, 653 yards in two games. So it's the ninth most in FBS. And he's seventh in completion rate. I think they're going to have some success. It's a home game for Virginia. So I'm getting a few points here. I'm just going to take it. I mean, Virginia could win outright, but maybe it's a close one. I don't know, but I'll just take Virginia the points. It feels like the safer bet here. It
feels so safe.
Feels a little safer. But so there's only 13 games. Only 13 games. USC, Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers are all on byes this week. Yeah. So why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and do some questions. All righty, we're back here on the podcast of champions. Don't have any voicemails this week. We do have a text message and it says, Dave, coming from a fan of a basketball school, how stupid is it that Ohio State touts that they haven't lost to another team in Ohio since 1897 when they have only played Cincinnati six times since before World War II and it's all been at home?
First, I had no idea that Ohio State touted that.
I didn't know either.
That is ridiculous. Because, there's Cincinnati in Ohio. Who else plays basketball in Ohio? Akron?
I don't know. Toledo?
Ohio? Like the MAC Ohio?
Yeah, like University of Miami.
Yeah, like what is this? Like that's not a thing. And if you've only played Cincinnati six times since before World War II and it's all been at home, then you're not even really competing against Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's, a way to try to lock down recruits in the great state of Ohio. But yeah, it's ridiculous. I find that like schools that need to tout stuff like that, it's generally a function of insecurity about, their prowess in a certain environment. Because Ohio State is like historically in that like tier below in terms of basketball prowess. Like not even, there's that upper tier right under the Blue Bloods. Where there's a lot of good programs, and then you've got that tier below where they're like good, they should be good, but for some reason it just never quite coalesces into really good, especially in the last 50 years. That's where Ohio State is.
Okay.
All right.
Didn't know that.
Well, there you go. All right.
Oh, Kent State, Cleveland State.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers.
Yeah, but what are we talking about here?
I don't know.
Come on. You're playing all of them at home. You're not going, if you've got a team that you're like home and home with, which is what Cincinnati should be for Ohio State.
Yeah.
Then you can tout something like that. You can say, oh, we're Ohio State champions because we beat Cincinnati in their place. Or Xavier. Like, are they playing Xavier on the road ever?
Oh, yeah. Xavier's up there. Or like a big Kentucky Louisville kind of thing. Like you say. Like,
yeah. Yeah. But
you want to. Yeah.
No.
But they hate each other.
Yeah. All right. This is from
Dayton Flyers too.
Yeah, this is from Dave. Wow, there's so many teams in Ohio. Look at them. Look at all these people. Lovely listeners. Okay, this is from Dave. QBU in the Big Ten, a look at the numbers. Good morning, Champion Dave and Champion Ryan. With the first week of the NFL season underway, many fans on Twitter have been promoting Oregon as QBU and crowning Bo Nix as the greatest rookie QB of all time before he even played a snap. But let's take a closer look at the numbers, specifically Big Ten quarterbacks currently on NFL rosters and their winning percentages, the only stat that really matters.
I would disagree with that.
What, that the winning percentage is something that matters? Often Dave is writing very tongue-in-cheek. So, okay. Anyway, the Tier 5, Big Ten teams with no quarterback in the NFL, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Midwestern, Penn State, and Rutgers. Tier 4, Big Ten teams with quarterbacks in the NFL, but they all have losing records, UCLA, Oregon with two quarterbacks. Tier 3, Big Ten teams with quarterbacks in the NFL with tied records, Illinois and Purdue. Tier 2, Big Ten teams with only one quarterback with a winning record, USC, two quarterbacks. Ohio State, two quarterbacks, Wisconsin and Michigan State. And Tier 1, Big Ten teams with multiple quarterbacks with a combined winning record, Washington, two quarterbacks. Do you know what fan base Dave here hails from?
Washington.
Yeah. Do you know how he decided to cherry pick what way to rate the quarterbacks?
That way.
Correct.
His Washington guy.
I'm not trying to draw any conclusions here. I'll leave that to you, the experts. I'm just sharing the unbiased facts. So who really is QBU in the Big Ten? And if it's not too much of a flex on your Big Ten knowledge, can you name all 13 Big Ten quarterbacks currently in the NFL? Let's see how many we can do.
Oh, my God. Do we have to do this?
All right. Washington. Michael Penix. Who else? Is Jake Browning still in the NFL?
I was going to say it could be Browning. I think that would be it.
Yeah. All right. Michigan State. No idea.
Kirk Cousins.
Wisconsin.
Russell Wilson.
Ohio State. Two quarterbacks.
Justin Fields and
you got to carry this because I don't know anything
Joe Burrow
about
no but he would be with he was he I don't know if he's going to count Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but he did go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
USC.
Caleb Williams.
And
Matt Barkley I think is out.
Was he still in?
He was like the long time
Jesus
backup. Like Kessler's out. Yeah, I think there's only one.
Okay. Purdue.
Keaton Slovis count? I don't know if he's like on a
maybe.
Team.
Maybe. Illinois.
Wait, Purdue? No, I'm not for Purdue. I was talking about USC. Like Slovis.
Okay.
Okay. Purdue. Shit. I don't know.
Okay. Illinois.
Don't know.
Okay. Oregon. Two quarterbacks.
Oh, CJ Stroud. Sorry, for Ohio State.
Boom. All right. Yeah. Oregon.
Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Mariota still in there?
I think he might be a backup somewhere still.
Cool. UCLA is DTR.
Yeah, he's with Baltimore, right?
All right, and then there's okay. All right, how did we do?
Oh, Darnold. Sorry, fucking Sam Darnold. Sorry, so he's starting. Sorry, dude, like they're throwing 15 names at us. They're like, you know, just think of it at the top of your head, and I had to do all of them. So F all of you.
You did great.
I didn't think of Sam.
You
Darnold.
Didn't do all of them. I did DTR.
You did DTR. You did the one guy.
It's beautiful. All right. Next up. Wait, is that it for that one?
Yes, that should be
it. Oh, no, it's not. Okay. What's wrong with the legacy Big Ten teams? Why are they struggling to get quarterbacks into the NFL while USC, Washington, UCLA, and Oregon consistently manage to produce them? Take Michigan, for example. It's tough to even find any notable NFL quarterbacks in their history. As a proud Pac-12 fan, it's been a tough adjustment. The Pac-12 averaged over 12 quarterbacks in the NFL each year. Now I'm struggling to face the reality of our new conference not having as many NFL quarterbacks as we have teams. Any tips on how to cope? Also, why does every half-decent quarterback in the Big Ten this year have the first name Ill? All right, am I reading that correctly?
I don't know.
Is Ill the Jake of the Big Ten? I don't know. Until the next cosmic alignment, may your coffee be strong and your Apple Podcast 5-star reviews be plentiful.
Dave. Nice. Matt says DTR is the Browns. I thought UCLA had a quarterback on, was one of the backups for Jackson at Baltimore. Maybe not. Okay. Sorry. They were just like throwing his.
Brett Hundley was there, but he's out of the league now.
He's out of the league now. Okay.
Yeah. So they only have the one quarterback in the league right All now. Right. It's DTR.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Darnold was like second in like QB efficiency or something like the first week. Like he looked pretty good for Minnesota. Taking over for Kirk Cousins, another Big Ten quarterback. Sparking up a bowl of green. This is from Steve. Hello, all you listeners out there. While Ryan and David have been learning me some Big Ten trivia for as long as I can remember. I'm sorry, I was supposed to do this in that kind of voice. I can definitely say that I learned all my American cities geography from singer Glenn Campbell. What with hits such as By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Galveston, Wichita Lineman, and others, one of my favorites was Bowling Green. Wait, let me check again. Yep. A man in Kentucky sure is lucky to live down in Bowling Green. So what is this bullshit about Bowling Green University being in the state of Ohio? Ohio? You mean the state of Ohio? Well, I'm glad I have the podcast of champions to learn me right. Oh, and other things the song got wrong. The best grass, you know what I'm talking about. And the prettiest girls come from California, not Kentucky. I know so. Just ask the Beatles and the Beach Boys. Speaking of the beach, I mean the, quote, heart of Big Ten country. I now send you back to Ryan and David. And their top whatever's countdown. Pod on from Oxnard, Steve.
You Glenn Campbell guy?
I don't know.
No?
I don't even know who it is.
So. You don't even know who Glenn Campbell is?
I'm sure I've heard of it, but
You don't know Galveston?
That's a Texas town.
But you don't know the song?
Can you sing it for me?
Galveston, oh Galveston.
No, I don't know that.
I still see. Okay.
Unless you really suck at singing. And you're usually pretty good, so yeah. No.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's depressing for you. Next up, we have Crispy Bruin, UCLA by 28.5 points. Hey, guys. After Indiana's 77-3-point beatdown of the Western Illinois Tomato Canning Corporation, certain pundits are ablaze with notions that their primetime game against mighty UCLA will be a comfortable win. As an exercise, here are two quarterback stat lines through 12 attempts. Quarterback 1, 10 of 12 passing, 212 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 4.5 drives. Quarterback 2, 8 of 12 passing, 182 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 drives. The first quarterback is the much ballyhooed Indiana quarterback Curtis Rourke's first 12 attempts against Western Illinois, who were 0-12 last year. The second was UCLA's boy wonder Dante Moore against NCCU last year, a team which ended 9-2 against the FCS. Historians will remember young Dante proceeded into the inferno of his first conference game, at which point the clock struck midnight and he turned back into a pumpkin, being thoroughly smashed by far more than two Utes. So what should we expect to happen when this year's Indiana team, fattened on tomato soup, marches into the hostile environs of the Arroyo Seco to face the vaunted UCLA defense, which hasn't allowed a touchdown since the first drive of their first game? Take me to church, because the beatdown on the Hoosiers will be biblical. Keep it real, Crispy Bruin.
Did they say Arroyo Seco, or you do Seco?
I said Seco.
Seco.
Yeah.
I usually say Seco, but no.
I don't know, man.
Isn't that your thing?
I don't know how to pronounce things.
Okay.
Crispy Bruin, I love it. There's a problem here with your thesis.
Yeah.
Curtis Rourke is, rather than a newborn babe in the college football world, is like a fifth or sixth year quarterback. And I learned recently, and this has played into me picking Indiana, the reason he wasn't as good last year was because he tore his ACL at the end of 2022. Then he came back maybe a little bit too early and had to play himself kind of into game shape last year while also missing a couple of games with another injury. He's now fully healthy. 2 years removed from the ACL tear. So go look at his stats from 2022.
Yeah. You know what I would to like pick this game? What I wouldn't do is look at Dante Moore's stats from last year.
No, don't do that.
I would like for one game, I would no. That doesn't seem like it would help very much. So this is going to be a beatdown of biblical proportions. He's right. He's just has the wrong side of this one. Sorry, Crispy. We love you. Yeah. We got a last email from Bob.
Is this a real thing?
I think it is.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I think it's like, so this is from a reply that he sent earlier in the season with the Texags thing. I'm not sure, whatever. But
he's just forwarding an email to us.
Oh, is he forwarding that one?
Yeah.
Did you not send it? Like, why would we forward something about Notre Dame playing? I'm not sure. That's about, like, the email he forwarded is about, like, Notre Dame going to Texas A&M. But this is about Boise State and Oregon, so I don't get it. But he says, happy day. The NCAA has overruled the fake ejection of Boise State Special Teams Player of the Year, which led to 14 points by Oregon. While I doubt the NCAA and Pac-12, which doesn't exist, will overrule the win, I trust in you to treat Oregon as 1-1 on the season and 0-4 against Boise State. How are you doing 9/11 this year? Thank you for your service, Bob. There's a lot
going on there. Thank you for your service, Bob. I want to start with how are you doing 9/11 this year, because that is exactly how this is written, as if like how are we performing the function of 9/11 this year, which I wasn't intending to do that. I wasn't intending to do 9/11 this year. You
mean like
doing 9/11, you know, like getting a pilot's license or something. I'm not going to do 9/11 this year.
Jesus, dude.
Well, that's what the question is. How are you doing 9/11 this year? No, I'm not.
So
doing
that's
that.
A verb. So like it's a thing now. Like that's a verb.
Yeah. I don't, you know, don't love it. And then I don't really understand the rest of this with the Boise State Special Teams Player of the Year thing.
So I guess did a Boise State player get ejected? And then that, and but according to this email, led to the two special teams touchdowns that made it so Oregon could win. They overturned the ruling, so you can't take those touchdowns off the board, and we can't say that Oregon's 0-4 against Boise. I'm sorry, Boise lost. But it sounds where that's coming from. But I don't know why it's attached to a Mike Elko hosting Notre Dame email from a couple weeks ago. I'm very confused by this whole thing.
This is a very, very confusing email. I would find the phrasing bizarre.
Phrasing. Cool. Well, that's going to do it for our show.
That's it.
Yeah.
For our preview show of the Big Ten week 3. How many podcasts is this for you so far this week?
Too many. I mean, two in the last few hours, but I did 4 in 24 hours, like Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
It was too many.
You look wiped.
I'm a little tired of talking. People cannot want to hear me speak this much. Yeah, but I need to wrap things up. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to be down in San Diego State with my niece hanging out. She's a freshman there, so I'm going to bring her some care packages since USC has a bye week. I'm going to try to watch as many games as I can. It's all Saturday this week, all Saturday.
All Saturday.
So it should be a lot of fun. All right. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.